Welcome to Faith and Freedom. For the next few minutes, we hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you as we discuss legal victories and challenges to your fundamental freedom and religious liberties. Faith and Freedom comes to you from Liberty Counsel, a civil liberties education and legal defense organization. Join us now as Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, explains the latest legal issues all across this country. In the courtrooms of America, Liberty Counsel is winning the battle for your constitutional freedom.
The United States Supreme Court issues a major decision on public prayer. I am Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber to talk about this case. Matt, it's a 5-4 decision. It's the town of Greece versus Galloway. But this case has huge implications for not only the Establishment Clause in general, the so-called church-state issues, but also in particular prayer at local governmental assemblies, such as your city or county council and so forth.
Matt, this case has sent shockwaves through the country in a good way. It's as big of a case as was a Roe v. Wade or a Dred Scott or a Plessy v. Ferguson. Those were all very negative, unconstitutional outcomes. This is a positive. It's as big a case, but in a positive vein, and it has sent shockwaves and really has upset the anti-Christian segregationist establishment, the church-state separatists that want freedom of religious expression completely drummed out of our society.
Yeah, it's a major case. Liberty Counsel filed an amicus brief in this case on this issue. Here's the situation. If you go back in history, the Supreme Court, up till this time, on the Establishment Clause, the First Amendment portion that says Congress shall not establish a religion, that particular case regarding more of a historical approach has only been used essentially one time, and it was in the Marsh versus Chambers decision a number of years ago, a Supreme Court decision. And that case involved prayer during a state legislative assembly. There was a lawsuit filed against that saying it violated the Establishment Clause. The Supreme Court did not use any of the other convoluted tests that it has created over the First Amendment. Instead, it did, guess what? An historical original intent analysis. They said back then that you have to look at the practices of the founders, and they actually engaged in prayer. In fact, one of their first public acts was to authorize a chaplain to begin prayer for the legislative sessions. It's the same people who drafted the First Amendment. So they would not have drafted an amendment that overruled their practice. Now, that was on the federal level. So the Supreme Court upheld it on the state level at the state legislature. But two things happened as a result of that case. People continued to litigate. The ACLU, Freedom From Religion Foundation, others continued to file suits. And they argued two things. One, well, that's okay for the state, but these local city and county councils, that's down to the local level, and it's got to be different. Therefore, it's unconstitutional.
Which doesn't even make sense.
Doesn't make sense at all. Basically, what they essentially said was, well, you have more business that you deal with at the state, at the local level. You've got your zoning. You've got other things that requires the people to be there more often than to be there at the legislature on the state level, which doesn't make sense, but that was their argument.
How they derived that from 10 words in the First Amendment is beyond me, the established
law. And unbelievably, some courts actually accepted that, and some courts didn't. The other thing was, in the history, in the facts of the Morris versus Chambers case, the court didn't require this, but the facts of the case were that the chaplain in that particular case in the state legislature did have sectarian prayers,
yes,
but voluntarily later decided to do non-sectarian prayers. That was just a statement of the facts. Now, what some of these separationists wanted to do was actually interpret that as a requirement. Mm-hmm. That in order to pass constitutionality, you had to have a non-sectarian prayer, which basically you have to edit your prayer of anything religious, essentially. So those two things were the arguments. The courts were split on it. The United States Supreme Court came down and blew those arguments away.
Well, the Establishment Clause, a mere 10 words, you read the words of Jefferson in a letter to Benjamin Rush, you read it was clear, unequivocal, that the Establishment Clause, those 10 words, were put into place so that the federal government would not establish an official Christian religion like the Anglican Church in Great Britain. However, it was to open up freedom of religious expression within all the Christian denominations. It was a given that it was a Christian environment and a Judeo-Christian environment that we're talking about here. So that's what the Establishment Clause says. What the kicker here with this case and with this decision is that it says that sectarian prayers are perfectly permissible. Yeah. That means in a opening of a town council meeting, if the pastor who's been invited to pray wants to say in Jesus' name, this has reaffirmed that it's unconstitutional to tell them they can't.
Or if the actual elected official wanted to do that as well.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who it is.
No, because in fact, in this case, most of the prayers were Christian in nature. The Supreme Court said that doesn't have any constitutional significance. In fact, here's a quote from the Supreme Court. Quote, any test that the court adopts must acknowledge a practice that was accepted by the framers and has withstood the critical scrutiny of time and political change. Any test that would sweep away what has been so long settled would create new controversy and begin anew the very divisions along religious lines that the Establishment Clause seeks to prevent. Close quote. That's a great quote from this particular court. And it also says there, quote, here's another one. Government may not mandate a civic religion that stifles any but the most generic reference to the sacred any more than it may prescribe a religious orthodoxy. And he goes on to say that legislative prayer does the government, the law and the court could not draw this line between generic prayers and more specific sectarian prayers, and for the government to draw those lines would actually violate the Constitution itself.
That's right. And Matt, I have been railing on the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, and some of their promotional materials. They say that the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment requires that religion and the exercise of religion be treated differently. Those are their words, be treated differently than other public speech and expression and so forth. This blows that completely out of the water. The wheels have come off the so-called separation of church and state train, and this case is, we cannot overstate how big a victory this is for religious liberty.
This is a huge victory. Another sentence from this decision says, any insistence on non-sectarian or ecumenical prayer as a single fixed standard is not consistent with the tradition of legislative prayer outlined in the court's cases, close quote. You know, some of the media suggested that, well, this might not have the sweeping impact. No, this has a sweeping impact. They didn't understand the nuances of this case. There are cases currently pending right now where there are lawsuits against governmental bodies at the local level to stop legislative prayer like this at the beginning, whether it's done by people that are elected officials or whether it's not. There's also cases where they have already stopped that because of lawsuits or fear of lawsuits. This now just completely frees up these governmental officials across the country, and what you're going to ultimately see is more and more of this happening before these legislative bodies.
Yeah, and the atheist groups, the anti-Christian groups like the ACLU, People for the American Way, Americans United, Freedom from Religion Foundation, they recognize the implications of this too, and they're going ballistic. They have completely lost their minds here, Matt. But I think the key word that we walk away with this is what we have been saying all along. The key word here is neutrality. Government neutrality. The government needs to take a hands-off approach to the free exercise of religion, whereas they have demanded that the government take an overt hostility approach toward the free exercise of religion and stifle the free exercise, free speech, particularly when it's in the context of Christian expression.
Yeah, so for example, if someone wanted to read a general poem, but they said that that was okay, but now you have to censor yourself from religion, that would be a problem. This is a great decision. We are very pleased with it. You can go to Liberty Council's website, libertycouncil.com or lc.org, libertycouncil.com or lc.org for more information on this and other issues affecting your freedom. Now, this case will be used by us and others around the country to literally free up the prayer that has been stopped by these groups such as the ACLU. No longer will they be able to intimidate these governmental officials. No longer will they be able to send these threatening letters. This has just put a major ding in Freedom From Religion Foundation and the American Civil Liberties Union. We are very pleased with this decision. We filed an amicus brief on this case. Thank you for your prayers and for your support of Liberty Counsel. Without your prayers and your financial support, we wouldn't have the resources to be able to put these arguments before the court. For more information on how you can be involved in Liberty Counsel, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, or libertycounsel.com. That's libertycounsel.com. You can order our resources and our Patriots Handbook. We have a series of them, and you can find that plus other resources at either libertycounsel.com or lc.org.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. We can accomplish a lot when we work together. Get informed and get involved today. Sign up for our free monthly newsletter, The Liberator. We will send it out to you free of charge. Stay informed with our Liberty Alert email updates. Just click on the website at www.lc.org or call us at 1-800-671-1776. Tune in next time to learn more about your rights right here on Faith and Freedom.